Okay, so welcome to the fourth parak of Megillah. Hope for it to be a very exciting, exciting limud. Just a quick ha'ara about the Marmakoma sheet. A question.
Can you just get someone to record the sheet for the guys?
It's in my pocket. I'm ready to go. So just a quick ha'ara about the Marmakoma sheet. The starred Makoros, I would say, are the main Makoros. If you feel you can't get through all the Marmakomos, or you think it's too much for you to see all the Marmakomos, I try to start off the major sources of the sugya, and usually the simpler, kind of straighter Makoros. So that's just something to bear in mind as you're preparing, and the breakup, hopefully a little bit of different issues broken up in different kind of groupings of Marmakomos. So the perek begins with the first Mishnah that talks about the halacha of, well, as Rashi points out, on chavav amalach amalin b'kodesh lo maridin. So when we have things that have kedusha, and this Mishnah is talking about lots of different things with kedusha, the street we'll talk about in more detail, and then the shul and the teva, which is the aron, and the cloths for the sefer Torah and svarim, which is nach, as Rashi points out. And a Sefer Torah, all these things have various levels of Kedusha, and the halacha is you always go up in Kedusha when it comes to using the money. Now, where Rashi has a very interesting comment, Jono was bringing up with me last night, about Malin Mekodesh Vayim Maridin, which we're going to get back to. The Gemara later will discuss, what does that mean? When do you actually have to go up? What about going across? What about selling a Sefer Torah to buy a new Sefer Torah? So those are other issues, and we'll discuss really the sources for Malin Mekodesh and that part of the Mishnah a little bit later when we get to Daf Chavav. But for now, what I wanted to discuss is the first Gemara here on Chavav Amin Aleph, which comments on the first stage of the Mishnah, the first case of the Mishnah, which is Rechova Shel Ir, literally the street of the city. So the Mishnah assumes in this grouping of things that have Kedusha, the street of the city, the Rechova Shel Ir, has Kedusha. And the Gemara points out that this is not really agreed to by everyone. This is only the opinion of, we'll read the Gemara, I guess, on the beginning, Chavav Amin Aleph, B'nei Ha'ir Shemachu Rechova Shel Ir. So the Mishnah talks about the people of the city sell the street of the city, Am Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Divrei Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi, Stumta. So this is just a Stam Mishnah, assuming the opinion of Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi. However, Aval Chachamim Omrim, Harechov ein bo mishum kedusha. So, opinion of the Chachamim is that a rechov does not have kedusha, and it would make sense. We generally have a rule that, as the Rishonim point out, if you have machlokas one tana and machlokas against the Chacham, the rule generally is yachid v'rabim halach v'rabim. If you have many versus one opinion, so we follow the rabim, we follow the majority opinion, and therefore all the Rishonim, I sent you to the Rambam, but all the Rishonim, the Rif and the Rush, all assume the halacha is like the Chachamim, that the street does not have Kedusha. We'll leave it at that for now, at least in the context of our Mishnah. Now, what is a street like? Why would a street have any Kedusha? So that the Gemara tells us, the Gemara makes a comment, and the Gemara says, Ho'el v'ha'am mispalim bo b'taniyos uv'ma'amados, since the people daven there on fast days, and they daven there on the ma'amados. Ma'amados, anybody? The groupings. So the Mishnah, an interesting point, the Rishonim actually debate here a little bit. The Mishnah in Tainus talks about the Ma'amados. The Ma'amados were whenever you had a karban, based on Sukkim there in the Mishnah in Tainus, but whenever you have a karban, so part of the karban is that you're supposed to have a Yisrael standing by the karban, kind of overseeing the karban sibur, based on Pasuk, karban ilachmi, lishai. Forgot exactly the rest of the Re'ach, Nechidish, Merula, Kriuli, Mo'adot, Tishmeru, is that what they learn from? Mo'adot, and it's a Mishnah in Tainus, I forgot right now, if you take a look in the last parak of Tainus, on Dav Chavav in the Gemara, so the Gemara has a drasha from there that we were supposed to be omed over the Karbanos. Tavis Bnei Yisrael from there. Okay, so Tavis Bnei Yisrael, they're supposed to be standing there. Now, the Mishnah assumes that the way they would do it is they would send some people to Yerushalayim to stand by the Karban, and other people would stay in their hometowns. A group of Yisrael assigned to read Ma'aseh Bereishis, they would read certain psukim, the Mishnah describes, and that would be the participation of Yisrael in the Karbanos, is functioning as the Ma'amados. So that's the Ma'amados here. Well, that's the Pashup shot, which is why if you saw Tosos, or and many of the Rishonim say you shouldn't really have Ma'amados as part of this discussion. Tosos writes, what does that have to do with the street? The Mishnah just describes that the people in Ma'amados, the people, either the people in Yerushalayim, or the people in their hometowns, they go to shul, they read these parshios, and that's it. So what is that? It has nothing to do with Rechov Ha'ir, it has nothing to do with the street of the city. That's what Tosos asks. And other Rishonim have other questions, but it's not so simple that Ma'amados should be part of it. An interesting point, just very quickly, we're not going to dwell on this too long, but if you look at Rashi, Rashi assumes that they would daven in the city, but they had, Rashi has a comment that they had a Beis HaKnesses, they had a shul in the street. Rashi makes that comment, and Tosos seems to ignore that. So one of the Achronim, the Michtam L'David, he's close to my heart. Anybody ever heard of Rav David Pardo? Anybody know David Pardo? So there's a guy I know, he wasn't known as in Shraga that long ago, but there's a guy I know who's in Grossami, David Pardo, and his namesake, Rav David Pardo, wrote a Sefer Michtam L'David. I think he's the rabbi. Somebody going to Brandeis? Somebody said they're going to Brandeis? He's a rabbi in one of these colleges. So his namesake, Rav David Pardo, has a tshuva, Michtam L'David, and Michtam L'David, he points out that it could be Tosos is arguing on Rashi, and assuming if you have Rashi describing here a shul, that they would go in occasionally. Like when they had the Ma'amados, that event, they would go into the shul. It wasn't their set shul, but it was a shul for special events. So Rashi assumes that even a special events shul is considered Rechov Ha'ir that doesn't have Kedusha. But maybe Tosos argues that since it's a shul, it's not a street, but it's actually a shul, even though it's just for occasional use, that would have Kedusha. There's a discussion we can continue for those who are interested later, but that's a side point and might answer a student Shulchan Aruch, I forgot about the student Shulchan Aruch, I realized last night, so I didn't have that in the Mar Makomos, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but that's just an interesting thing to bear in mind, that Machlokes Rashi Tosos, Rashi assumes they had this temporary shul they would go to, and then, but still, that's Rechov Ha'ir, even though it's a shul, right? The simple pshat Rechov Ha'ir is the street, right? Rashi describes in the fast days they would go out into the street, they would start davening and screaming in the streets, so that's this case where, should the street have the status of a shul? Maybe yes, maybe no, so that's the Machlokes, and included in that is even a building of a Beis HaKnesses. Still, Rashi assumes that doesn't have Kedusha. Maybe Tosos argues that would have full Kedusha based on Knesset, even though it's only for temporary use. Maybe we'll come back to these discussions another time. Yeah?
Is it possibly saying that, like, when they're saying that they got together at the Rechov, it wasn't necessarily for, like, a organized field, like, shop, or anything like that, like, for a time, it's like, for city clothes or something like that, where you don't necessarily need a based on Knesset?
Could be. So you're saying maybe that's what makes it worse? Rashi focuses on the fact that it's Ba'akrai. I think Rashi has that comment, right? Rashi's Loshon, I mean, it's really the Gemara. V'rabbanan hahu akrai ba'alma. It's not so much that it's... I hear what you're saying, but it sounds like more that it's the focus on the fact that it's not... And that's what the poskim assume, that it's the regularity of use that's the issue, and not so much that it's not actually one of the major tefillos of the day. Okay, so that's something to interest me in my eye on. But where I really want to go with this, so again, where a lot of these makoros come into play, is the question of, which the poskim discuss, the question of the Kotel Plaza. And with that, we'll go through all the makomos in addressing that issue. So, the Kotel. What should be the status of that plaza outside of the Kotel? Yeah.
And then there's also a question of whether you have to say, if you're walking past it, and it's been the activity, it's bound to walk past it out, whether you have to say, plus it
does. Ah, good. Good. So, John is an old city boy, so you thought about these things. It's good. So, and I have a good mice with Renem, so we'll get back to it a little later. So, okay, so you'll let us know. So, So now, what about, the first question is, what about the lower plaza? What should be the status of the lower plaza? We're like right by the wall. So, the guys were confused. I thought these were easy terms, but. Lower plaza, upper plaza, everyone follow me? The lower plaza is like right by the wall. Upper plaza is like that big area.
There's a gate.
There's like a gate, the ramp gate, you know, where the mechitza is. That's lower plaza. The flagpole is the upper plaza. That's what we're talking about here. So what's the status of the lower plaza? What is the lower plaza?
Sure.
What is that? Pashup Shad is a shul. Why? What does the Rambam write in Hilchos Tefillah, Halacha Aleph? How does the Rambam define a shul? What's the definition of a shul? Not exactly. I had this discussion with someone yesterday. Not exactly 10 men. The Rambam says, if there are 10 men anywhere, what do you have to do? You have to build a shul. And what is a shul? What does the Rambam say? A place where you daven whenever you're supposed to daven. That's the Rambam says a shul. If that's a place where you go when you're ready to daven, that's a shul. So is there any place in the world that is used more for davening than the Kotel? That's where Rav Asher Weiss points out in his tshuva. You can't, or no, maybe someone else. We'll get back to Rav Asher Weiss. Maybe I still have someone else, but they point out that it's obvious that has the definition of a shul, because that's what Rambam says. A shul is a place where you go to daven when at the times of davening. This is a place that's always used for davening at the times of davening. And as we go in the perek, we'll learn a lot of the halachos of Beis HaKnesses, and all of those should apply in full force, certainly at the lower plaza. The real question, though, actually one interesting point, it's a kind of a strange thing. Like, do you think of the Kotel Plaza as a shul? Like, if I would have asked you before we started Sully's Bakuros, don't worry, they'll be okay. What, kids throwing a ball?
Water balloons.
Yeah, they'll be okay. Nothing will happen. We're fortified in here. So if I would have asked you before we started any of the Bakuros, would you have thought of the Kotel Plaza as a shul? Would that be your initial reaction? You would have said yes. So one question is raised a little bit. It's like, not a shul is usually like a building, like a roof, kind of a place where you're diving. So what's the raya that shouldn't make it be a factor? It's not part of the hagdar of a shul. Okay, fair enough. More explicit, I sent you to the Beis Yosef. For those who saw it, the Beis Yosef discusses the shul compare it in the Beis HaMikdash to the Azara or the Heichal. So the Azara was the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal was the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And so if the fact that a shul could be considered like the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, clearly the Azara doesn't have a roof, it's an open courtyard, so clearly the fact that it doesn't have a roof shouldn't make a difference.
You reference explicitly the Aliyos Hazara,
the building from the Hazara. Aliyos Hazara. Okay, so if you don't like that raya, another raya is the fact that Rechova Shalir, the sugya that we're discussing, the street, the only problem of the street, as we were just saying before, maybe you could argue the types of tefillos, but more likely the amount, the frequency of davening, but the fact that it's an open street doesn't necessarily affect its definition as a Beis HaKnesses. So a shul, as per the Rambam's definition, Hilchos Tefillah does not have to mean a building, or even could be something without any walls. It just has to be a place that's designated for davening. Actually, that Machlokes Rashi Tosfos might be no good to some of the buildings here in camp. Maybe we'll talk about that later. Yes. Someone had a question? That's who you can raise. Okay. All right. Let's go on a little further. Yeah.
That's not without bounds, as the Shulchan Aruch brings up, about not being as foul in Machlokes Kares.
Oh. So Rav Avi Yosef, I don't know what his svarim, who's written by his sons, himself, but the Yalkut Yosef, which I think is written by his son, but it's all the psakim of Rav Avi Yosef. So in the Yalkut Yosef, he raised this question. What Zevi is raising, I don't know if everyone saw this source I sent you to in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't daven in an open place. You're not really supposed to daven in an open field. Sometimes you get, you know, on a trip or something, you get stuck, but it's better always to find something like a more kind of... not as open of a location. So maybe the Kotel Plaza, that's not a shul. How could that? That's a place for a shul. It's wide open. Okay, maybe it's a big room. Yeah, Daniel.
Yeah, can you check if you go like the arch and the under part, like right next to it, it's enclosed and it's a shul and just like...
So it's an extension. So we'll come back to that svara. Okay, Mike?
The whole concern was the fact that you won't have to have mindset.
Very good. So Mike's saying exactly what Rav Avadia said. The whole reason you can't daven, it's like from five summers ago. How many summers ago? Mike was answering all the questions back then too. Okay, so the sports questions. Now we don't need sports trivia anymore. So, sorry for the private jokes here for some of the guys who were my shear back in the day. But if you're in a wide open place, what's the problem with a wide open place? You can't concentrate. You're distracted. Things are going on. You're not going to focus on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Is there any place in the world a person focuses less on a Kodesh Baruch Hu than the Kotel? Such a place where we connect to Hashem. One just Ha'ara before your question, Renemzel, in his Ha'aras on the bottom of his Mishnah Berurah, he comments, he says, don't make up a svara. He says, you can't make up a svara and say, oh, but I like davening out in the field. I connect to Hashem. He says, you can't do that. Ravadi said here, I think maybe the Kodal is like, objectively, everyone understands that's a place where you feel connected to Hashem. If you go to the field, so you're the guy who likes davening in the field, but that's, we don't kind of change the rules just on an individual basis. But the Kodal, we can say, objectively, is really a place that people really do have Kavanah. Yes?
That's also why I think there should be said
by a Churva.
Yeah.
What does he say again? Remind me?
That, and no, that's, I mean.
Because it's an open place.
Yeah.
Right, so that's all, those are examples of that idea where you're not going to be able to focus. That is the point there. Okay, so fine. Now, so the lower plaza again, Pashup Shat should have the status of a shul. But what about the upper plaza? What do you say? Yeah.
I have a comment.
Yes.
Is the reason Jeremy said you can't focus? Or because you can't really have a
seen the oven? Have us. What do you say?
Have a seen the oven in like an open place?
You can't, I think you can't focus. What's the lesson of Shulchan Aruch? I don't remember exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says. What? Avodazar? No, the Shulchan Aruch says a lesson. He won't, right, that's the lesson. That you won't have the fear of you like that sense. You come into a shul, you have a sense like, okay, I'm talking to Kesh Baruch. And even if you put yourself in a more secluded area, so you're able to keep that focus. Yeah. Right, similar idea. The place you put yourself down in should be a place where you can have the proper focus. That's part of what you're supposed to do when you step up to down, 100%. There you go. So the Kotel usually does that to people. Alright, so what about the upper plaza? So, at first glance, for those who spend some time at the Kotel, so you'll know, it really sounds like the definition of Rechova Shalir. Why? Not necessarily Tanios and Ma'amados, but every once in a while, the upper plaza gets filled with people davening also. You know, Shavuos and Yom Yerushalayim and Slichos and the other Shbirkas Kohanim. There are events throughout, there are days throughout the year where the upper plaza fills up for davening as well. So at first glance, it should be exactly like Rechova Shalir. Right? Rechova Shalir, the Gemara describes the street, sometimes they're davening there in the street. So too in the Kotel Plaza, sometimes people daven there in the upper plaza. So where does that leave us? So on a simple level, okay, fine, it's not a shul. However, the Ritva, hopefully you guys got to see the Ritva, or at least saw quoted in the Be'er Halacha, but the Ritva makes a comment. Yes?
A lot of times the upper plaza is used for the women's section. Like just like on a normal day, on normal chakras. A lot of times the women just down there listening to the men.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Like right by the wall. Right by the fence.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
You're saying that's every day? That's every day that happens? So you want to say that's Mamash has a lot of Ezra's Nashim. And has a lot of Ashul. Interesting. Okay, but only, I don't know, only Shachas. Ram says, B'chol Eis Tefila. It's every time. So I don't know. Maybe it should be the same as this. Maybe it should be the same as this issue. And then the fact that men down there make it even, probably the Ezra's Gvarim, the men's sector has a little bit more Kedushin than just Nashim. Yeah. You want to say something?
Does it matter that it's
a Tefila? Yeah, but Ezra's Nashim has Kedushin based like this also. There's a discussion, can you change in Ezra's Nashim? They had a big discussion at the Kotel. Anyone who's seen older pictures or may remember, the Mechitza used to be, I think, further over to the right. The women's section used to be smaller, and they expanded the women's section. They also moved it back, so they made the men's section. They made everything bigger. But there was a discussion. I have a sefer, some of you guys saw a sefer written by the Rav of the Kotel. Shaila is related to the Kotel. We discussed this thing, yeah, but one of the things we discussed there is that question, can you move the Mechitza? Can you change a section of the men's section to the women's section? Yeah, Timmy.
Is Kedusha generated by the amount of davening that goes on there? Because you said, like, you could say the men's section is more, it has Kedusha in the women's section. I mean, I guess you're reading over there.
Right. I'm not sure exactly the issues of the men's section versus women's section. Why there should be a I didn't look into that issue. It doesn't really come up in the Gemara so much. So I'm not sure exactly. Kedusha is a funny thing. It's hard. Someone asked me this last night. Jacob Braun was asking me last night. Like, what is Kedusha? So I'm not a Mekubal. I'm not such a person that like really understands what these things mean. What we do, what's clear from the Gemaras is Kedusha at its very basic point is a way in which we relate to certain things. Kedusha means to stand back from something. So Kedusha, when we say various levels of Kedusha, means various ways in which we relate to these to different things. So when we say something is more Kedusha, it means we relate with a little bit more of a step back, a little bit more respect for that place. What makes it, what brings it about, a little bit later, when we get down to the bottom of Chavav and Aleph, we're going to talk more about what is Kedusha Beis HaKnesses, what gives a Shul Kedusha, and then we'll get more into what creates Kedusha. Again, still not going to fully understand it, but it'll give us a little more of a sense of what to look for when we talk about Kedusha. Okay, so on a simple level, it should not have any Kedusha. That's what it says, that's what it seems to say in the Gemara. However, I sent you to the Ritva, and the Ritva has an interesting comment. Any thoughts on the Ritva? Who would want to share a thought on the Ritva? How do you understand the Ritva? Okay. So the Ritva, so Adam is trying to explain what the Ritva is getting at. There's two ideas that you have a shul has its full Kedusha, and even the money has to be used for higher level Kedusha, as the Mishnah describes. And then you have a place that's designated and ready to be used for davening, so that has, you have to treat it with a certain amount of kavod. Now, the Ritva has a strange example. The Ritva makes a strange comment there. He says, what did he say? What's the Ritva? Lahashtit. He talks about urinating. It's a little bit random. Is this mine or something? Oh, it's a Murashash. What is mine? I don't know. Okay, so the Ritva, when he makes a comment, he says something that, he says that it's a, what does he say? Mutter la'adam l'hashin mayim b'sof dalad amos shal tefila. Who asked about Kedusha Yishbo? Vod mezumen shalol, so you can't urinate there. Shalom says you can't urinate there. So what's the significance of the Ritva mean? What's the significance of not being able to urinate in the shul?
Doesn't it later talk about that if you're in a certain area that you've established
enough to feel like the weight or whatever? Oh, great, Sam. So what do you think the Ritva means then? So here was my initial reaction. I sent you to a Mishnah later on for Zion and Beza. And the Mishnah talks about certain things you absolutely cannot do in a place where it's a shul. You need to sell it. One second, we'll get back. Remind me your name again? I forgot.
Aaron.
Lauer. Oh, man. Okay. So we'll get back to your question in a second, Aaron. So the Mishnah later on for Zion and Beza talks about certain things that you absolutely cannot do with a building. Maybe not so absolute. We'll learn about it. But there are certain things that Bezayon, the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says you can't turn a shul into a bathhouse, into a place to tan hides, into a mikvah. You can't make it into a beis hamayim, which is either a laundromat or a bathroom. So those are certain things you can't do. So does the Ritva mean that you can't urinate in the rechov? Means you can't do those things in Bezayon, but it doesn't really have Kedusha? That was my initial reaction. But he sounds like he's saying there's more Kedusha. You really have to treat it with kavod, like Adam was saying. So why do you think he mentions urinating?
There's Kedusha as long as the tefillah's going on.
Oh, so one, it could be the Ritva means only while the tefillah's going on, yeah. But I thought urinating, getting to what you were raising, the Gemara, that's kind of like the example in the Gemara of a difference. You want to say?
What do
you
want to say? That's because the Gemara talks about that there was a road that everyone used to go down and on it, and then people also used to urinate here and
oh, exactly. So that when the Gemara is trying to describe what is a shul versus what is just like a regular street, that's the Gemara's example. So I think the Ritva is just alluding to that to say this is like a Beis HaKnesses. This is a shul. It's not full-fledged shul. It's for the money, but you have to treat it with the respect you give a shul, as evidenced by the fact that you can't urinate there, and as opposed to a regular street where the Gemara says explicitly, you're allowed to, if you go out into the road here and you daven there, mincha, you miss the minyan, whatever, you daven in the middle of the road, okay, leaving aside the other halach we learned about before, and you daven there. And then you can urinate there right after you're done davening. Okay, you wait a couple seconds, but you don't have to move from your place. That place has no kedusha. So they're just trying to emphasize this is a place that has kedusha. It's not just the middle of the road where you can urinate and do whatever you want. I think that's what Ritva is getting at. So the question is, do we paskin like this Ritva? That's the discussion in the poskim. So in the Sefer I quoted, he quotes from Binyamin Jolti, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim. Actually was the Rav of Yerushalayim, I think the previous Rav of Yerushalayim. They didn't have a Rav for 20 years. They just elected Rabbanim of the chief rabbis of Yerushalayim. So Rav Jolti addressed this issue, and he thought we should be machmir. He does point out the Rambam. If you look at the Rambam we mentioned earlier, so the Rambam, when he talks about Rechova Shalir, so Rambam, what does he compare it to? Anybody catch the Rambam? When Rambam is describing? Yeah, good. He compares it to a house. He says, the Rechova Shalir, this place we daven every once in a while, it's just the same thing as a house. Now, does a house have any Kedusha? So a house, Pasha says, no Kedusha at all. So it sounds like the Rambam is rejecting this Ritva, saying there's nothing, no Kedusha at all. It's just a regular house. You daven the upper plaza, they daven there sometimes, okay, big deal, they daven there sometimes. It's just like davening in your house, nothing doing. However, the Be'er Halacha quotes it, so that's the result, he's machmir because of the Be'er Halacha. However, Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva about this. Everyone know Rav Asher Weiss? Rav Asher Weiss is a good person to know about. He's one of the big poskim, in Yerushalayim right now. He's American, and he's just shmak and really knows everything, and he's holding what's going on. So he's a good person he's got a lot of shirim online. But anyway, so Rav Asher Weiss is a tshuva, and he has two volumes of tshuvas, and one of the volumes, I forgot which one right now, but in one of his volumes of tshuvas, he thinks that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin this way, because the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is, well, Shulchan Aruch, when he describes the Rechova Shalir, he says, Ein bo kedusha klal. That's the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. If you guys got to see that. Rechova Shalir, Ein bahem shum kedusha. So this doesn't have any kedusha. So any kedusha sounds like really has no kedusha. You don't have to treat it with any kind of respect, and like the Ritva is saying it, you know, and we would not pass like the Ritva. So that's a little bit of machlokas. Again, within the Ritva, not exactly clear, certainly to have respect, but Rav Asher Weiss thought that we don't have to be machmir for this Ritva. Okay. How far did you guys get in Marmakomus? You guys got through everything? Most guys got through everything? What? No. So you know what? Let's stop here. Where we leave it, I'll just stop where we are here and just summarize what we've done and see where we're going in these Marmakomus. I don't know if we'll have the whole shiur on this. We may start the next sugya next time. But just to summarize, we had this, the Gemara, Rechova Shalir, Machlokes Rashi Tosfos, interesting point in terms of exactly defining what is considered something temporary. Is it a temporary shul, or does it have to be specifically a temporary kind of street, like Tosfos possibly is assuming? And then, moving into the discussion of the Kotel, the lower plaza being defined as a shul, as per the Rambam, no worries about being open, or not having a roof. The upper plaza, that's where we left off, Rechova Shalir seems to be like the Pashup Shot in the Gemara against the Ritva. Most Rishonim don't say like the Ritva. The Pashup Shot is that it doesn't have Kedusha at all, therefore the upper plaza would not have the status of a shul. Where we're going now in the next Marmakomos, have this in your mind as you go through the next Marmakomos, or some of them might be Svaros on your own, but what we're going to go and see are there other issues or potential reasons why we should treat the upper plaza with Kedusha. We're not going to have their Ritva, and we're not going to necessarily pass on the Ritva, but do we have other reasons to have it treated with Kedusha or Bizayon, and do we have to possibly watch how we act in that upper plaza? There's a lot of socializing that goes on there and other stuff that goes on in the upper plaza, and we'll have to see. So far, it seems to be okay. We'll have to see if there are other reasons to be machmir. Yes, David?
You said we're going to limit it. This is the underlying question for what we've already did, or we've already done,
That is an underlying issue. That is true. Here, it's probably let's come back to it. We're going to get back to later on the bottom Chavav and Aleph in terms of what actually gives Kedusha to a shul. We could think about it then, but I'm not sure it's necessarily even the Ritva. Just to clarify what Dovi's saying, maybe the Ritva has something fundamental here about, is there a fundamental machlokes between the Ritva and the other Rishonim? So it could be the Ritva really agrees to everyone else that the definition of a shul has to be, like the Rambam says, always for constant use, consistent use, not just randomly. But if you have a place that's very often used for davening, you're going to tell me, you know, let's just say camp, for example, right? So a shul, the boy shul, the beach pavilion. So these places, okay, they're not used b'chol es tefillah, they're not used all year round, but you're going to tell me, like, there's no kedusha at all? I mean, you're davening there. So, or you could just do whatever you want. So maybe the Ritva does have a lot of kedusha. It's a little hard to understand exactly what the Ritva means, where the two dinim come from, not sure. But maybe what the Ritva is saying is just, it can't be that you can just do whatever you want in this place. And you have to treat it with some respect. This is used very frequently, you know, not very frequently, but it's used every once in a while for davening, so you have to treat it with respect. So I'm not sure if the Ritva is getting into a fundamental issue about we'll see the svaros, the ideas of what makes a shul a shul. I'm not sure it's going to change based on this issue. Okay. But,